this morning, and tomorrow's back to school, or Tuesday, or whenever it is, and I'm praying for you. Amen. I promise you, I'm praying. Praying. I drove a school bus for 20 years, so I know what that first day of school is like. Amen. John chapter 18, verse 35. Amen. Don't forget our service tonight. Pastor's preaching. I'm looking forward to that message. I was just reading about the arrows the other day, so I'm looking forward to that tonight. Don't you just love Westmoreland Church? Yeah. Amen. It's just a great church. Amen. Love it. And I don't ever refer to Westmoreland as, you know, that church or your church. It's my church. Amen. This is my church. This is where my membership is. This is where I'm planted. And praise God for my church. Amen. Say that with me. Praise God for my church. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, this is my church. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take ownership of it. Amen. Praise God. You know, don't ever refer to those people there. No, you're here. Amen. It's us. We in it together. Amen. All righty, John. And did you fill out your connection card? I'm the connections pastor, so that's my job. So I get paid if you pull in those connection cards, I promise you. And if they don't come in, I get docked, you know? So I need you to I'm really just kidding, but I do want you to fill out those connection cards. Amen. John chapter 18, would you stand with me this morning? John chapter 18, verse 35. I thought about being back to school, so I said, why don't we talk this morning about answering life's greatest question? John chapter 18, and I believe our children's church is staying in this morning. All right. We have a wonderful children's church, and so many of you make that possible. And, you know, really, Westmoreland Church is really emerging into, and has always been, but becoming a church of all generations, which is as it should be, where millennials and where seniors can worship together, love together, sing together, praise God together, and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen? You know, I'm going to just throw this out. I feel led to say this. When people get older, they tend to get, a lot of times they tend to get a little wiser. Not intellectually as IQ maybe, but they just learn some things that haven't worked. And they've tried this and it didn't work. And so when you're in your 20s and 30s, I know you think you know it all. I know you feel like you've got all the answers. But listen to me. I'm your friend. My name is Ricky. And somebody who's 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 might do a good just to ask their advice every now and then. Somebody say, help him, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 18, verse 35. If you're there, say amen. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Verse 36, John 18, 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered from the Jews. But now my kingdom is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. To this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Go to the next scripture. John chapter 18, verse 38. Can you pull that up real quick? John chapter 18, verse 38. Give me just a second to pull that up, because I want you to see something else there. Just give me a thumbs up when you got it, brother. John chapter 18 and verse 38. Pilate said unto him, read that with me. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. That scripture. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Answering life's greatest question. Father, help us to do that this morning. Anoint your servant to preach the word. May I decrease and may you increase. And Father, we give you the praise. And we pray for all the students one more time as the teachers, as they go back to our various schools, maybe in Beddingfield or Fike or Hunt or Spate Middle School or maybe Toys Not or wherever, Wilson Prep or CCS, Lord, all of the students, all of the school systems that are represented here, we lift them up to you and thank you for helping us to answer this school year and for all eternity, life's greatest question. And we'll give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and ask somebody, what is truth? You may be seated. What is truth? Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Amen. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Praise God. The summer is over. The summer holiday was over and young Jack returned to school. Only 2 days later, his teacher phoned his mother to tell her that Jack was misbehaving. "Wait a minute," his mother said. "I had Jack for 6 full weeks, and I never called you when he was misbehaving." It's time to get out the pencil and the papers. Time to start opening the books. Time to go to bed a little earlier. Cut off the cell phone. Cut off. Maybe I'm just talking about the 1980s here, but that's the way we used to do it. Amen. But school's over. School's not over. School's just starting. A teacher on the first day of school wanted to know if everybody had studied. And so she said, "Raise your hand. He said, "Raise your hand. I want you to tell me, the first one that can tell me 2 days of the week that start with T. 2 days of the week that start with T." And somebody raised their hand and said, "Today and tomorrow." Amen. The kid said, after the first day of school, said, "I think we need a new teacher." "Well, why is that?" the mother said. "Because our teacher doesn't know anything. She keeps asking us for the answers." Well, that's a part of being in school, is learning the answer. Amen. And in our text this morning, if you'll find the answer to the question that Pilate asked, that when it comes down to the graduation, when it comes down to the graduation of life into eternity, it will be worth everything. When you answer life's greatest question, we are in the Easter story when you read this passage. I read just a little passage. Jesus had, let me just bring you up where we are in this text. Jesus had already been beaten and humiliated. Jesus had now appeared before an illegal Jewish council and the high priest Annas and then to Caiaphas. And in a process to try to eliminate him, they now turned him over to the Roman authorities and eventually to a man by the name of Pilate. Everybody say Pilate. In our text this morning, Pilate obviously struggled with this. You see, there's something we could talk about, our conscience. Something wasn't quite right about this. And down inside, this tough, hardened Roman leader knew something wasn't quite right. And what it was his conscience. And we find that Pilate was asking, interrogating Jesus, "Are you a king? And why have they brought you here?" Go back to John chapter 18 and verse 37, if you will, Brother Blue. John chapter 18, verse 37. "And Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Are you a king?' Jesus said, 'Thou sayest that I am a king. And to this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.'" And then Pilate asked the question in verse 38. "What is truth?" Say that with me. What is truth? Pilate's asking a question. The answer to that question is what I'm going to talk to you about today. Because the answer to that question is life's greatest question. I know there's questions about geometry, trigonometry. I know there's questions about English literature. And I know there's questions about verbs and adverbs and reverbs. No, that's a music thing. But I know there's a lot of questions this morning. But listen, the answer to this question is the difference between right and wrong. The answer to this question is the difference between light and darkness. The answer to this question is the difference between blessing and cursing. The answer to this question is the difference between life and death. The answer to this question is the difference between heaven and hell. So it's very important to answer life's greatest question. Now, you know, sometimes children, you catch them talking to themselves. Have you ever caught your kid talking to themselves? I mean, just be honest. Have you ever talked to yourself? Amen. Okay. All right. Honest confession. I must confess, I talk to myself, and every now and then I'll answer back. Somebody said, of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice. But let me tell you something. We need some expert advice. And I just want you to know something. The experts built the Titanic and said God himself couldn't sink it. But the experts were wrong. The experts said that the presidential election was going to go this way, but the experts were wrong. That's not being political. That's just saying the experts are not always right. And we don't need to talk to ourselves about our need. We need to talk to God and find out the answer to life's greatest question. I want to give you three things this morning on the answer to the question, what is truth? Say it with me. What is truth? First of all, let me talk to you about the attack on truth. Because your kids are going into public school. I just want to tell you, things have changed in public school. So they used to open up the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Today, they walk through metal detectors. Full-time police officers are on campus. So we've exchanged the Bible for the gun holster of the police officer. You see, there's an attack on truth. We live in a day when truth is under attack. In a Barna research poll that was just completed a few months ago, several troubling facts came to light about where the American public is intellectually and spiritually. The poll examined several different beliefs and found that most adults reject the notions of original sin, the existence of Satan, and salvation by God's grace alone. It is also discovered that Americans tend to think that the core doctrines of the world, listen to this, the core documents of the world's major faiths, such as the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon, are different expressions of the same truth. And that praying to the dead can actually reap benefits. It goes on to say Americans are nearly as likely to say that Jesus Christ sinned as to believe he was sinless. The research concluded that the United States is the world's greatest melting pot of cultures and that diversity is clearly evident in the religious beliefs of its people. In other words, many people order their lives by what they hear from Oprah and Dr. Phil as much as the Bible, if not more. They see no difference between them. What is truth? Go to Isaiah 59:14, because truth has fallen on hardened times. Isaiah 59:14 says, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. Read that with me. For truth is fallen in the street. What is really black is now being called white, and what is really white is now being called black. And there's a scripture that says, woe to them that call evil good and to those that call good evil. You see, we've actually turned the definition of evil around. Evil used to be certain sins, certain things. We knew that this was wrong, that was wrong. But actually now we've turned it all around. In fact, go up to Isaiah 59:4. And it's an interesting scripture. It says in Isaiah 59:4 that none calleth for justice. Any pleads for truth. Listen to me, parents. You must teach your children truth. And I'm going to get more into this. We must have absolute clear truth. This is right. That is wrong. I know there's some gray areas on some things that really don't matter anyway, but on the things that mean everything, God is clear, and we ought to speak the truth and accept the truth. Nor any pleads for truth that they trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth. It sounds like the news media. Come on here. Let me just go on to verse 5 here. Verse 5 says, none call they hatch cockatrice's eggs, and they weave spider's web, and they eat of the eggs that dieth, and that them which crush break out into a viper. Man, if that's not America right there. Man, on the TV and these crazy movies that are out there with extreme nudity and extreme foul language, with all kinds of teachings that you're okay, I'm okay, it doesn't matter if this and doesn't matter that. We've just got, there's just snake eggs. That's what that scripture says. They're hatching snake eggs. You cut on the evening news and they're attacking everything that we stand for, and we stand for love. It's a, they're hatching snake eggs. We're seeing spider webs. And you better be careful that your kids are not getting wrapped up in the world wide web. That's one web right there. That's why it's called, have you ever thought about it? The internet is called, and I'm not against the, but the world wide web, because a lot of people are getting tangled up with a lot of things, a lot of lies. And there's one person that said, you speak a lie long enough and people will accept it as the truth. We've turned it topsy turvy, and we need to get back to answering life's greatest. What is truth? What is the truth? Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. You see, it started about five. Let me give you some people that this didn't just start last night. But George Frederick Hegel is the first one. That, don't he look pretty? I mean, would you like that guy to be, I mean, to be prayed for you? But you're talking about a snake egg. He is the one that came up with the idea that there is no absolute truth. He is the one that philosophized that truth is what you think it is, and or truth might be what somebody else think it is. And I always like to answer that question like this. How many of you get a paycheck? Let me raise your hand if you get a paycheck. I don't, even if you get one from the government, just raise your hand. Amen. That's all right. Let me tell you something. What if Best Buy said, well, Ricky, I'm going to give you, you know, $100 a week to work, and when I get the check, it's actually $25. Now, how many of you know they've robbed me $75? Can I get a big amen out there? But when I go to my employer and they say, "Well, no, the truth is that $25 is the same as $100." How many of you know that's not true? That's a snake egg. That's a web. Are you kidding me? There is absolute truth. There is right. There is wrong. There is sin. There is righteousness. And there is. Then George Frederick Hegel had hatched a snake egg. And if you don't believe in absolute truths, then you might not get a good paycheck next week if we keep on that line. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, as long as they don't bother our paychecks, we don't care about truth, do we? You can turn around and tell somebody he's preaching now. Amen. Y'all might be ready for me to go back to school tomorrow. Amen. Look at not only George Frederick Hegel, but another man by the Ludwig Feuerbach. He said that there is no God, that God is just the figment of man's imagination, that way back in the early days of mankind, that they didn't know how to explain the unexplainable, like eclipses and stuff like we saw. So they just said there had to be a higher power that did that. So that really what Feuerbach said was that man created a God. And that's why there's so many different beliefs and so many different approaches to God. And so he just hatched a snake egg of doubt that there is no God. Now, let me just think about this guy's name is Feuerbach. I mean, he looks smart, doesn't he? He looks like he's been to school a few days. Can you agree with that? But I know Feuerbach didn't have an iPhone 7. Hallelujah. He might have been turned out a whole lot better if he had an iPhone 7. But you know, I love my iPhone 7. How many of you got iPhones? How many of you got Samsung Galaxies? How many of you got a flip phone? Amen. Sophie's got a flip phone. Brother Elam's got a flip phone too. Amen. I'm just like the iPhone. It's just, I love my iPhone, man. I'm telling you, I can do things with it. So let's talk about old Feuerbach here. So Feuerbach, I want to ask a question here. So you see this iPhone here, Feuerbach? All right, Mr. Feuerbach, you know, here's an iPhone. It's a great invention. But Mr. Feuerbach, if we believe what you believe, then the iPhone just happened. But Mr. Feuerbach, there was a man by the name of Steve Jobs who invented the iPhone. Let me tell you something, Feuerbach, Harvard education, Ivy League school, creation itself. himself. That eclipse that happened Monday, it was the hand of God who put everything together. There is a creator. Nothing times nothing does not equal everything. Let me tell you, it's God that made the bishop preached it a few weeks ago. God, I am. And brother, if you don't believe God is the creator, then everything else is off. You have no hope. You have no access. Amen. And all of God's people said, praise God. And all you iPhone users say, thank you, Lord, for Steve Jobs. Amen. And then, after Hegel and Furbrich, came a man by the name of Karl Marx. Karl Marx. Now, follow this. Well, since there's no absolute truth, since there's no God, then we've got to do something to help ourselves. And so he came up with the idea that the state must do it for us. That we're not to look to God. We're to look to government. And so his idea was, it's actually all these religions and all God, people who believe in God. Those are the people who are giving us all the problems. So let's just do away with all religion, no religion whatsoever. Nobody owns property so that nobody can be looking down at another person because they have a better car. And so it's class warfare. And so everybody has the same color clothes. Everybody has the same type job. Everybody has the same amount in their bank account. And if you need protection, the government will protect you. Well, that's kind of halfway sounds, maybe. It ought to make sense. But the problem is when the government takes over like that, guess what? Guess who gets filthy rich? The government. And guess who gets tormented? The people. There's a word, and some of you millennials, let me just bring you up. I'm going to give you a history lesson, millennials, and your kids are going to school. It's called communism. That was a big thing when I was coming up. I know Pastor Jonathan, these other people never heard of it, but let me tell you, communism was the state-run government. Russia, where Vladimir Putin is the president now. When I was coming up, you couldn't take a Bible into Russia because of Karl Marx. Karl Marx, and if I'm not mistaken, Karl Marx's dad was a Jew. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? He actually went to school with me. Okay, here's a millennial. He knows something here. Listen, stand up and tell us, brother. Do you mind?
Karl Marx actually went to school for a while to be a minister before he developed the idea of communism.
So somewhere in there in school, somebody didn't answer life's greatest question. Can I get an amen? And so here we have the snake egg. And by the way, that's what we're seeing today. The government, it's a power struggle. Are the people going to follow God and work hard and have the bounty of God's blessing? Are the people going to look to the government for everything? Every paycheck, everything, regulation, red tape, Congress people who have a different health care than we have because they are a part of the elite. Now, you don't have to say amen, but I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we need a revival in this country, and government is not the answer. God is the answer. Amen. Well, should government help? Sure, it should help. But let me tell you something. The government was never called to be the social fabric. You and I were called to be the social fabric. The church. In fact, in this hurricane that's happening at Texas, I promise you there are Pentecostal holiness men right now gathering their belongings and getting ready to head down to Texas to set up a mobile kitchen. We have a big mobile kitchen. I'm talking about the Pentecostal Holiness Church. That's what we're part of, IPHC. I guarantee you the Southern Baptists are gathering and flying down there, and Methodists. It is the Christians, brother. You don't see the Muslims and the Buddhists on their planes headed down to hurricane disaster areas. Nothing against I love Muslims as far as people. They've got souls. I'm not against any person, but I'm here to tell you that religion and those other religions are not of God. Let me tell you the true religions, those that'll stand up with you in the hurricanes, those that'll give you something to eat. And by the way, we'll love you enough to tell you sin is sin, but God is good and he loves sinners. Come on and give Jesus a hand. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Christianity. People say, well, it's Christianity that gave us the Crusades and killed all the people. That is a lie. That's a snake egg right there. Let me tell you something. There was a lot of people who said they were Christians who did that. They weren't born again. You had popes back then that had children and had affairs. We can't blame everything on what happened then. And let me tell you what Christianity gave us. It gave us a baby in Bethlehem who died for my sins. Christianity gave us the public school system. Christianity gave us hospitals. Do you know where hospitals came from? They started with Christian churches to help. Do you know what they used to do with sick people in Europe? They throw them out to the street and they didn't want to touch them, afraid they'd get their disease. But somebody said, no, in Christ's name, if I even catch it, I want to minister to them while they're dying. And hospitals sprang up all because of Christianity. Don't believe that stuff you hear on the evening news. It's fake news. And thank you, Mr. President, for calling it out. I'm going to get a letter for this, I can tell already. And I'll forward it straight to the senior pastor, amen. Oh, there's benefits of not being the senior pastor. And then it gave way, since there's no truth, there's no absolute, there's no God, then we need the state. And then this guy, his name is Charles Darwin, came up. He said, well, how did we get here? Well, we must have evolved from monkeys. Charles Darwin. That we evolved. And then, I'm going to tell you something. Some of our high schools right here in Wilson County, well, they have to teach this. And if your child hears about evolution in school, well, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But you can sit your child down and say, now you've heard that. But let me show you, you didn't come or descended from monkeys. God made you in His image. And I don't have time to get, I could do a whole sermon on the fallacy of evolution, because it takes more faith to believe that we came from that than the fact that just God created us. And all of you believe it, say amen. That's a snake egg. We didn't come from monkeys. You might have some cousins that act funny, but they didn't come from, I promise you. All right. And then finally, Sigmund Freud, he was the psychologist, psychology 101 at East Carolina University, psychology 101. Sigmund Freud said, there's no God. There's no absolute truth. You know, he followed all these other guys. We're just animals. We evolved. And because we're animals, then no one should tell us what to do and what's right and what's wrong. If we want to just go out and enjoy a life of sexual promiscuity, well, that's not wrong, because after all, we are just an animal. That's what he says. I'm sorry. I am not an animal. I'm a man of God, made in the image of God. He gave me the gift of sexuality. And in 1994, he gave me a beautiful bride. And for 20 some years, I'm not club hopping. I'm not on a chat room on Facebook. I'm not hooking up. I have a woman who I love with all of my heart. We enjoy the full benefits of being one man and one woman. It's wonderful. It's great. And kids, you need to hear that. Because everything you see on the movies and TV is talking about how bad marriage is. And I'm not going to get married. I'm just going to have friends with benefits. You're going to die and go to hell if you're not careful. And I don't mean that wrong. But friend, let me tell you, the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Did you know that when you have sexual promiscuity, you are so much more likely to get diseases? Think about somebody that you give that very most intimate part of your life, and then they just bump you and forget you and go to somebody else. It tears you all to pieces and you despair of life. You have low self-esteem. So why don't we just do it the way God says do it? Why don't we say, let's wait till I find somebody. Listen, I got a woman. She's so good. She's promised to push me around in the nursing home when I get too old that I can't walk. She is so good to me that if I get sick and I go to hospital, I ain't got to worry about her on Facebook talking to an ex-boyfriend. She is committed to me. And friend, that's what it's all about. And that other part, oh, it's good too. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You get the whole package. Oh, if you're married and happy this morning, say amen. And if you're not married and happy, it's not marriage that's the problem. It's probably you. Yeah. There's not a problem in my marriage that I personally can't just eat a lot of humble pie and fix it. Amen. Woo. My wife, the other day, we were talking about getting a lawnmower for the carpet. Did you catch that? And at Best Buy, they've got the ones that can do it automatically. Man, they got a $500 back, and I would pay every last red cent for it. Brother, I'd put it on no interest financing, and I'd pay that thing off, because let me tell you, the most greatest invention to date is that vacuum cleaner that you don't have to do nothing to. And men, I'm just here to tell you, don't give it to your wife for an anniversary present. Oh, somebody say hallelujah this morning. If you love the Lord, we don't need Sigmund Freud. We don't need those snake eggs. We don't need Furbeck and Hegel. We need Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He'll fix your marriage. He'll send you to glory forever. We have hope beyond the grave. Oh, somebody give him another hand of praise here this morning. The attack on truth. Those snake eggs have produced an omelet of high teenage pregnancy and low traditional marriage and rising gangs, removal of the Ten Commandments, the removal of prayer from school, Littleton, Colorado, Newton, Connecticut, a Houston mayor 2 or 3 years ago subpoenaed the sermons of all the pastors in that city, subpoenaed them, because if in their sermon, written sermons, they had said anything that she didn't think was right, they were going to be in trouble. So Mike Huckabee encouraged all the pastors of not just Houston, but all over America, send her your sermons. She might read them and get saved. Amen. Snake eggs. That's the attack on truth. But number two, let's go to the answer of truth. So what is the answer? Is the answer Freud? Do what you want, when you want. Is it Marx? Look to the government. What's the answer? Is it you talking to yourself and giving yourself expert advice? What is truth? Well, let me answer this. The answer to life's greatest question, and I'm coming to a close here in just a little bit. The actual thing is not what is truth. Let's rephrase the question to this. Who is truth? Because truth is not really a what anyway. Truth is a who. Did you catch that? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am what?
The
way. And the?
Truth.
The what?
Life.
Let's go back to that middle one. He's the what?
Truth.
No man comes unto the Father but by me. By the way, that just puts it where it is. Muhammad is not the way to God. If Muhammad is the way to God, then what Jesus said is a lie. Listen, Jesus is either a liar because he said it and he wasn't. Or maybe Jesus was a lunatic. Maybe he was on drugs or something. Maybe he was tripping out and said that. But how do we know that, you know, Muhammad said he's the way? Kids, listen to me. I'm going to give you some education here. Joseph Smith is the way. Or really, Fleetwood Mac, you can go your own way. Y'all, millennials never heard of them either. Amen. It's on iTunes, I promise you. But, you know, maybe you can go, you know, well, what works for you, if that works for you, and what works for me. No, that is false. There is one way. Well, Muhammad said he was the way. And what makes Jesus better than Muhammad? Well, that's a fair game. That's a fair question. I'm not against questions. I think we need to ask some questions, but I think we need to have some answers. By the way, getting back to Steve Jobs, if I read his biography, and somebody died that was very, I believe it was his sister had died. And he went to the Episcopal priest where he attended church. His family raised him in church. And when his sister died, he went to his pastor. They didn't have priests. They had pastors, the Episcopal church, I believe. And he said, please help me. I'm struggling with the death. And Steve Jobs wrote in his biography that the man could not help him. Now, I don't know. Maybe that pastor said only what you could say. But I'm just saying that a pastor in a study in a church had in his office one of the people that would one day influence the world. And if he had given him a right answer, how different this would be. That might have been an iPhone speaking in tongues on this. You never know. Amen. I mean, come on. We need to have some answers. Amen. That's what I'm talking about, the answer. So, Brother Ricky, that's kind of looking down on other people for you to say Jesus Christ is the only way. I'm not looking down on anybody. Well, what is the difference? Okay, here's the difference. Muhammad died and was buried and gone. Buddha died, buried, and gone. But Jesus was crucified, buried, but guess what? 3 days later, he come out of the grave proving I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. Isn't that great that we can go to the Father? We've sinned so much. Adam sinned. Eve sinned. We've all sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. And if it weren't for the fact of Jesus, we couldn't go to the Father. We wouldn't have any hope. But Jesus said, you can take God in His holiness, man in His sinfulness, and I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I am the way. Muhammad died and was buried. Buddha died and was buried. But the empty tomb said, Jesus is the way. Aren't you glad you serve a risen Savior? Now, if it weren't for the resurrection, then all bets are off. Your religion might be as good as mine, and we're all headed, you know, to the same place. If Jesus hadn't died, arose from the dead. Now, preacher, are you sure Jesus rose from the dead? Do you want me to preach two sermons a day or just one? People said he just passed out. You mean to tell me after he lost all that blood and was whipped for almost for hours upon hours, and they laid him in a tomb with no air whatsoever? You mean he just passed out and kind of resuscitated? Listen, there's some of you that you pass out if you just break your ankle. I mean, give me a break here. How many of you broke your ankle before, broke your foot before, broke your arm before? I mean, that's tough, just that. Amen? Can you imagine being nailed on a cross and all that blood? He didn't just pass out. And then some people say, that they stole his body, and he didn't really rise from the dead. Well, the problem is there. If they stole the body, then all they'd have to do is say, well, here's the body. We can prove to you that, you know, in other words, his disciples came looking for the body, but the Romans actually stole it. Well, when the disciples were preaching that Jesus rose from the dead, all the Romans had to do was say, no, he's not dead. There's his body right there. Are y'all with me here today? I'm doing about 3 hours worth of preaching here in about 30 seconds. By the way, at Best Buy, go to get the movie, Best Buy. I do talk a lot about that, don't I? Go get the movie, The Case for Christ. Say that with me. The Case for Christ. A newspaper man, Brother Clark, if you don't mind getting to that piano, because if you don't, people will never feel like I'm going to quit. But just be ready and I'll let you know when. But a newspaper man in Chicago, he run Pulitzer Prizes. And his wife got saved and started going to Bill Hybels Church. And he got so mad that his wife got saved. And he went to work at the Chicago Tribune, and he talked to his fellows. He said, what can I do about my wife? She's got religion and she's not the same and I don't like it. And what can I do? And the guy said, well, you're an investigative reporter. Why don't you go and really disprove to her that Christianity is a farce? He said, you know what? I'll do that. And you ought to see that movie. It is amazing. He went to the most brilliant scientist in the world, and he said, now tell me that Jesus really didn't die. And that doctor looked and said, sir, if based on what we read in the Bible and based on if it would have happened right now, there's no way he could have survived it. And then he went and talked about the resurrection, how that there were so many witnesses. Well, maybe they were hallucinating when they saw him. They thought they saw him. But the problem was there was over 500 people that hallucinated the same thing. And then toward the end of that movie, he winds up convincing his own self through undeniable evidence. And that, I'm telling you, that's powerful. And so some of you, amen, give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise God. People are struggling. There's so much false out there that people will sit in a church just like this. They didn't used to, but sit in a church just like this and be like, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Well, investigate it. And by the way, what do you feel right now? Let me tell you something. The greatest proof of God Almighty is a church like this, because I feel Him in this house. Sister Kathy, did something happen to you last Sunday morning when the doctor said this and the doctor said that and you went Tuesday? And praise God, that's a proof that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. That's the attack on truth. That's the answer of truth. But really, I'm coming it down to this, the acceptance of it. It's not that you know it's true. I really believe the real deal is you just don't want to accept the truth. The truth is that Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again. Why did he die? Because of our sins. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm a good man. I don't need to be saved. You're a good man? Really? Have you ever lied? Well, have you ever looked at the opposite sex and desired them? Well, come on, be honest now. In fact, I told this fellow, I was witnessing to one of my coworkers at Best Buy, a young man. He was getting ready to move to Charlotte. I had about 5 minutes with him on the sales floor. We didn't have break room. I said, Juan, have you ever told a lie? He's like, yeah, I've told a lie. I said, Juan, have you ever looked at a girl to, you know, and desired her? You know, that's called adultery. You know, if you look on a person and desire them, everybody say amen to that. Amen. Oh, good Lord. He was like, oh yeah, really? I'm telling you that. Absolutely. You know, he was like confessing. I didn't want to hear all of it. But, I said, have you ever used God's name in vain? Well, yes. I said, Juan, I've gone through 3 and we got 7 more to go. How are you doing so far? We hadn't even got through the whole 10 commandments and he is already way broke 3. Let me tell you something. We have all sinned. And because God is a just judge, and that's one of the problems we have in America, is politicians and judges who can be bought off. But God looks at the sinner and says in his holiness and his absolute justice, you must be punished for your sin. You must. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Jesus Christ stepped in, took your sin, and he never sinned. He became God's perfect sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, he took your sins, washed them away. But what you've got to do is accept it. You can't say, well, I'll give a little money, I'll do this. No, no. What you must do is fall on your knees and first of all acknowledge, I have sinned. I deserve to die for my sins. And then realize, but thank you, God, that you sent your son to take my place. I would forever be lost without you. And as a result, I now give my every breath back to the one who gave me everything. If it were not for you, God, I may find myself in eternal hell without you forever, with no friends, no family, no recourse, no reprieve, no vacation days, forever lost and undone without God or his son, forever in the blackness of no hope, in all eternity. eternity. But God stepped down and said, I'd rather you go to heaven so much and not hell that I will kill my son. My friend, that is the way. That is the truth. That is the life. Shall we ever praise him for it? May we ever thank him for it? There's not a dollar that I've ought to begrudge giving because of it. There's not a sacrifice I make to teach somebody else the greatest news of life's greatest answer. His name is Jesus. Will you accept it this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to just lift your hands to heaven and say, I've accepted life's greatest gift. And I know the answer to life's greatest question. Come on in, just as Brother Clark plays softly. Thank him for it this morning. We don't need Furbrick and Karl Marx. Thank God we didn't come from monkeys like Darwin. Parents, tell your kid. Parents, bring your kids to church. Our church, Westmoreland Church, listen to me real quick. We have Sunday school. Then we have children's church. We have Sunday night youth meetings. Then we have Royal Rangers and girls' ministries. Do you know why we do that? Because those kids are not going to hear it at Beddingfield and Hunt. And at Fike. Now, there's a good schools and good people that work there, and not every, and there's many good Christians there, but they are restricted. But let me tell you, if you'll bring your kid to Sunday school or children's church or Sunday night youth or Royal, or am I talking to just myself this morning? If you'll get your child and raise them in church, they're not only going to hear the truth, they're going to feel the truth. Let me tell you, when they go to college and they get a long way away from Westmoreland and they get into some dark places in the back of their mind, they're going to remember some knockout, drag out Holy Ghost services. And let me share this with you. I'm going to hush. But my great grandmother could not walk. She was on a walker. Every time she walked clump, clump, clump with a walker. And I'm going too fast because she went slow. And I remember, and she was a preacher and she had a church. Carolyn Edwards, I don't think she's in here right now. But, oh yes, there she is. That Carolyn. I was thinking about the other Carolyn. I'm just kidding. Sister Carolyn remembers. My great-grandmother couldn't walk on a walker. And one day, we got a call. She had gotten healed at some revival. And I remember I went to Granny's house. And she was sitting on her chair like normal. And I was sitting. And all of a sudden, Granny had to get up to go do something. And normally I'm used to Granny pulling her walker, getting up slow and walking. And I sat there and she got up out of that chair. Across that room. I wasn't but 10 years old. And when I went to East Carolina University and some old Furbrick up there was telling me, there ain't no God. I remembered my great-grandmother, glory to God. There is a God, glory to God. I've already felt it. I've already seen it. Parents, get your kids in church. They need to feel it. Don't go to the, my goodness, you missed church this Sunday, that Sunday, this Sunday. Boy, you know what? You don't ever come to church. My goodness, and there's nothing wrong with missing for vacation and special events and family reunions. No problem with that. But by the majority of time, get them in the place so that when they grow up, they will know the answer to life's greatest question. Would you bow your heads this morning? Do you know that answer this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What is truth? His name is Jesus. Will you accept him? Will you ask him to forgive you of your sin? Realize your tremendous danger and guilt. And then receive his gracious pardon. And then, from this moment forward, with God helping you, you'll give every breath. You won't begrudge any dollar. And you'll live your rest of your days for all eternity to come to thank him and praise him for the gift of life. Will you accept it? If you do, would you lift your hand this morning all over the building? Will you accept the truth this morning? I want all the, if you are 35 and under, I want you to come because I want to say a special prayer over you today. The millennials, are under it. I'm not giving up on the millennials. I love millennials. Westmoreland, we love millennials. And everybody said amen. Come on out here. Millennials, 35 and under. David, come on up, buddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll cherish the old rugged. That old song has power. Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it. And exchange it someday. Listen. Listen to me, millennials. I love you. And we love you. We stand with you. You're under attack because you have so much future. And you've got these little ones watching you. And I want every able body, if you're 35, 36 years old and up, if you possibly can, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come down here. Y'all turn around. Y'all turn around. Just face them. I want you to love on them and I want you to encourage them. I want you to shake their hands, hug their necks or shake their necks or hug their hands, ever how you want to do it. Come on out, all of you. I want you to bless them. I want you to tell them you love them. I want you to tell them you're behind them. I want you to tell them to accept the truth. And we're going to teach your kids. Come on, you older ones. We're going to help you raise those kids. We're going to help you keep them in church. Come on, all over this building. Don't forget, all down here. Oh, I will click. Go ahead. Millennials, we're for you. Hallelujah. When you've done that, you're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.